Father, we thank you for these wonderful truths, loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me, it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine, in a love that cannot cease, I am his. And he is mine, his forever, only his, who the Lord and me shall part. Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your great salvation. We thank you, gracious Father, for this hope that burns within our hearts that one day we shall see him and we shall be like him. Father, we thank you for your great salvation. We thank you for the Lord's Day. We thank you for the fellowship that we have one with another. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Bible that we can read this morning. We ask, Lord, as we would open your word, that you would come and draw near and speak into each of our lives, that we would be encouraged, that we would be edified, taught and built up in our most holy faith, and that, Lord, indeed, we would go from this place glad that we were here, because here we met with our Savior. Lord, bless us now, we ask. We pray that the Holy Spirit himself would come and undertake for the speaker and for hearer alike, and may our Lord Jesus be uplifted and glorified and all drawn unto him. In his precious name we ask. Amen. Psalm number 62, please. Psalm number 62. And we'd like to read this psalm together. And then we're going to look at Psalm 69 just for a few verses as well. But Psalm number 69, or Psalm number 62, let us read together. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be led in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. You'll notice at the opening of the psalm, the title in my Bible, at least, and I'm sure it's there in yours, it says, To the Chief Musician, to Jeduthun, a Psalm of David. Now, that title, to the Jeduthun, Jeduthun was a Levite, and he was one of the great musicians of Israel. Jeduthun was one of those, along with Asaph, and another man called Heman, who was appointed by David to take responsibility for temple worship, for the music and for the singing in the temple. And Jeduthun is first mentioned, or we first read about him in the Bible, in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles and chapter 16. And the descendants of Jeduthun continued after the death of David and right through to Solomon. And indeed, we read about him again, or the descendants of Jeduthun and their ministry in the temple in the days of good King Hezekiah and good King Josiah, and also when the Jews returned from exile. These ones who were whose responsibility it was in the temple to lead the praise and the singing, to raise the music, they were there at the very center of the worship in the land of Israel. And brethren and sisters, I think one of the things that I've missed most in this lockdown is the gathering together of singing. The gathering together to lift our voices in praise, to take our hymn books and the truths and the doctrines and the experiences of life that are true to the Christian faith and to sing them together. When was the last time you sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear"? When was the last time our children sang, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so"? And we could go on all morning quoting hymns, and we say, we miss them. We miss them. And here we have Jeduthun. And brothers and sisters, let me say this morning, never despise singing. Never despise music. Never despise gathering together to praise the Lord in company with God's people. That is part of what it is to be a Christian. That is part of what it is to be a child of God. He has put a new song in my mouth, yea, even praise unto our God. Many shall hear it and shall see and shall trust in the Lord. And the sooner we begin to sing our praises again, the better it will be for our Christian faith, and the more enthusiastic, or the more it will be to help us on our pilgrim pathway to the glory of God, to Jeduthun. And David in this psalm has much to say that will encourage us this morning. But there are three psalms in the book of Psalms which are entitled to Jeduthun. The first one is Psalm number 39, the second one is Psalm number 62, and the third one is Psalm number 77. Psalm 39 is a psalm of David, Psalm 62 is a psalm of David, and Psalm 77 is a psalm of Asaph. I'd like you to read with me Psalm 39 just for a few verses. And this is a psalm of David, and it's to Jeduthun. Psalm 39. And what we'd like to do is just pick out one or two things by way of introduction to Psalm 62, the theme that we would like to mention. Look what he says in verse 4. Lord, make me to know my end, and the measure of my days, what I am, or what it is, that I may know how frail I am. In this psalm of David to Jeduthun, David here begins to speak about the frailty of life. See what it says in verse 4? Lord, make me to know my end, the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. The frailty of life. Then he goes on in verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. My age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, the brevity of life. He speaks about the frailty of life. Which of us don't know about it? He speaks about the brevity of life, how short it is. And then he comes to verse 6 and he says, surely every man walketh in a vain show. They are disquieted in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. The futility of life. What's the purpose of it all? I work, I labor, I save, I work, and I do my day, and then I die. The futility of life. The brevity of life, the frailty of life, the futility of life. But look at verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. The certainty in life. Certainty in life. And David writes a psalm where he looks at all the dark clouds and the things that would depress him and discourage him and cause him to be filled with hopelessness. And then he says, now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in thee. Now, that's the Psalm 39 to Jeduthun. But whenever we read in Psalm 62, there's nothing mentioned in Psalm 62 about hopelessness. There's no sentiments in regards to despair or despondency. David isn't in Psalm 62 concerned with any of the dark clouds of life. Psalm 62 is a psalm of victory. It's a psalm of confidence. And one thing that I think we have all heard, and it's part of the media headlines, it's part of the news reports, it's part of talk shows, it's part of general conversation in families of people who have lost confidence about life and about living. When are we ever going to get out of this coronavirus? When are these clouds going to lift? Young men who think, I never get a job. Young men who think, I never get on in life. Everything's closed down. No certainty. No light at the end of the tunnel. Young women who had their eyes on a career or on marriage or on a home or on travel, and they say, it'll never happen. Old people who haven't seen loved ones and they're isolated for months. And you ask, where's the hope in it all? Where's the silver lining? How do we ever get to the end of all this? Well, Psalm 62, a psalm of David to Jeduthun, David has got an answer for people whose lives are just like that. Look what it says. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. David, in this psalm, he doesn't mention the dark clouds. He's not, as it were, overcome by them. But in this psalm, David looks his enemies in the face and he pokes them in the eye. And he says to the dark clouds and he says to despair and he says to hopelessness and he says to everything that just seems futile and everything around him, my confidence is in God. My confidence is not in my circumstances. My hope and my confidence and my trust and my expectation is in God, who is above and greater and higher than them all. And David in this psalm teaches us that we need to, even in dark days, confidence that God cares for us. God is looking out for us. God is looking towards us. He hasn't forgotten us. And Psalm 62 brings all of these truths before us. In the name of the Lord, David looks at his enemies and he boasts in his God. I wonder, have you boasted in the Lord recently? Whenever you look at your business, Young people, when you look at your exams, when you look at your career prospects, older folks, whenever you look at the four walls of your home, where does God come into your thinking? Well, Psalm 62 has a message for you. David, in this psalm, we listen to David and we listen as he speaks about his God. Then in this psalm, we listen and we listen to David as he speaks about his enemies. And then we listen and he speaks about his faith. And that's our little outline for this morning. David, as he speaks about his God, David, as he speaks about his enemies, and David, as he speaks about his faith. There's a word that occurs twice in the psalm. You'll read it there in verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. And then you'll see in verse 5, my soul wait thou only upon God. That word wait is a common word in the Psalms. It's a common word throughout the Bible. And the idea of the word wait is this. It's to be quiet. It's to be free from anxiety. It's to be free from turmoil. It's to rest. And how many people today know nothing about rest? They know nothing about quietness. They're agitated. They're worried. They're in despair. But David here says, my soul waiteth. Quiet yourself. Rest. Relax. Relax in God. That's what David teaches us in this psalm. And in the place of frustration, in the place of hopelessness, in the place of despair, he says, my soul, relax, rest, quieten yourself in the presence of God. This waiting and this looking and this quietness, this confidence, this rest, it's not some sort of mind games we're talking about here. This is resting and relaxing and waiting in the presence of a God who loves you, who knows you, who understands you, a God in whose hands your times are. That's what David is saying here. My soul, wait thou only upon God. And David brings out in these first 6 or 7 verses the very fact of whom his trust and his rest and his confidence is. Look what it says in verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Then verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in him. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. That's what it is to wait before God. God is invisible. God is invisible. But he's not a figment of your imagination. That's what David's saying here. God is real. He's better than any tablet, better than any counselor, better than any guru. God is the one whom we wait before, and in him is our defense, in him is our salvation. He is the one in whom we trust, and in quietness, in rest, in confidence, we bow before him as families, as individuals, as young men, as young women on the threshold of life, as old men, as old women at the end of life, and we say, in Him is my salvation. Hope in a troubled world. The BBC know nothing about this. The counselors know nothing about this. But this is the heritage, this is the inheritance of the child of God. He is our refuge. Verse 2, He is my rock. Dependability, whatever the storm. He is my salvation, deliverance, whatever the problem. He is my defense. He is my defender, whatever the enemy. He is my glory, my delight, whatever the opposition. He is my refuge, my dwelling place, whatever the circumstances. What have you left at home this morning? What have you left behind you in the past week? What is it that lies ahead of you? God is your rock. God is your salvation. God is your defense. God is your glory. God is your refuge. And David declares, my defense is not in mine armies. My defense is not in my wealth. My defense is not in my name or in my reputation. My defense is not in my position. My defense is in God Himself. Brothers and sisters, David speaks about his God. This is a psalm for a mundane Monday morning. This is a psalm for a mundane Monday morning where you think, what's the point? You need to lift your eyes and know that God has got you in His hands. He's got your circumstances in His hands. And whenever He will order your steps and He will guide your pathway. Not only does he speak about his God, but he speaks about his enemies. And all of us have got enemies, those things that go on in our heads, those things that trouble us from the past, those things that are outside of us and come in and seek to pull us down. And David speaks about his enemies. Look what he says in verse 3. How long will you imagine mischief? That word mischief, we sort of make that a light-hearted sort of word and we smile with it, but the word means to assail, like an army would attack a castle and assail the walls. How long will you imagine mischief? How long will you rush upon me? How long will you rush against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be. Now, I'm sure you know what a bowing wall is. We've all seen a piece of warped wood. If you leave wood lying in water and you pick it up after a while, that wood is warped. You set it against a flat wall and it's all bumpy and lumpy, and that piece of wood is useless and it's only good for firewood. Now, that is a bowing piece of wood. But David here speaks about a bowing wall. Bowing walls are the sort of walls that you see in a derelict building. Out around the countryside, you'll see a little house that's just abandoned. And if somebody was to put a sign outside of it, they would say, dangerous building, do not enter. The walls are bowed. They're beginning to crumble. They're beginning to fall down. And David looks at his enemies and he says, you're like a bowing wall. You're like a bowing wall. And not only that, you enemies, you're also like a tottering fence. You know what a tottering fence is? The fence post is in the ground. It's filled with woodworm. That tottering fence, the planks along it, if you were to put your elbow on them, they would fall. And here we are with our worries. Here we are with our enemies. And here we are with our despairs. And here we are with our hopelessness. And yet our enemies are like a bowing wall and a tottering fence. Because God is in control. He is my loving heavenly Father. And David speaks about his enemies. What is it that's going to crush you? What is it that's going to put you under? David says it's like a bowing wall and a tottering fence, because God is greater, God is bigger than all of that. And then he goes on to say, verse 4, they only, that is these enemies, only consult to cast him down from his excellency. Consulting is about talking about. Sometimes our enemies is because of what people say. And David looked at his enemies and he says, they talk about me. They consult to cast me down. And then he says, they delight in lies. These enemies lied about him. And then it says, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. They're two-faced. These were the enemies that David named. Have you got anybody who lies about you? Have you got anyone who talks about you? Have you got someone who's two-faced and you think these enemies are going to overcome you? Well, they're like a bowing wall and a tottering fence. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Wait thou only upon God. In quietness, in stillness, in rest, come into his presence. The problem is we don't pray. The problem is we don't wait upon the Lord. The problem is we run here, there, and everywhere. And David says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. My expectation is from him. He talks about his God. He speaks about his enemies. But then he speaks about his faith. Child of God, you've got faith. It may not be very much. It may be like the grain of a corn, but you've got faith. And that little faith that reaches up to a God who's omnipotent, a God who loves you, that will see you through the storms. That will give you hope in the midst of despair. My soul, wait thou only upon God. David's faith gets stronger as the psalm goes on. Have a look at verse 2. Look what he says. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And then you come to verse 6. He says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. The word greatly is removed in verse 6. You see, these enemies that come against us, these things that pressurize us, these things that cause us to have sleepless nights, these things that keep us awake, they're threatened to move us. They threaten to take the very foundation from under us. And David says, God is my salvation. God is my rock. God is my defense. I'll not be greatly moved. But then he says, no, that's not it at all. I'll not be greatly moved. I will not be moved. I will not be moved. And brothers and sisters, we need in these days to know that because our confidence is in the Lord, because our times are in his hands, because we commit our way to him, we do not be moved at all. We will stand. We will see it through. And we will be better at the end of it than we are in the middle of it or what we were before it, because we will prove that God is our refuge and strength and he is our defense. The outside world knows nothing of this. They're turning left, they're going hither and thither, and politicians and those who are supposed to help and lead, they're at their wits' end. But the child of God, my soul, wait thou only upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Verse 7, this is what David says. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. That's prayer, just plain and simple. How often do you pray as a family? How often do you pray as an individual? How often do you pray as a church? Prayer. Surely men of low degree, the hoods, the wasters, the wicked, they're vanity. And men of high degree, the arrogant, the aristocrats, the powerful, they are a lie to be led in a balance. They're altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, that is extortion or muscle. Become not vain in robbery. Do not vainly trust in robbery or ill-gotten gain. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. Thou renderest to every man according to his work. What a combination, mercy and power. That's the God of the Bible. Mercy and power. God who loves the children. God who loves the mothers. God who loves the fathers. God who loves the elderly. Mercy, tenderness, power. This is who David's confidence was in. This is who your confidence is in. This is the God of the 21st century. And this God is our God. How does he sum it all up? The answer to living, the answer to life, the answer to a hostile world, this hostile age in which we live. I think more than ever, I think we live in a hostile age. Not just coronavirus, that's small compared with the sins and the oppositions that are all around us. We are a despised minority. We live in a despised world, in a world which despises our values. They want to twist our children's minds in school and a whole lot of other places. They want to bring them up to reject God. But look what David says in verse 5, and this warmed my heart. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. The word here is hope. Literally, the word means a cord, expectation, a cord. And that cord stretches right up into the throne room of God. That's where our expectation is. That's where our hope is. That word expectation is a lovely word. My expectation is from God. A few Sundays ago, I had lunch with my sister and my brother-in-law. And after we had lunch, we go out for a walk, and my brother-in-law lifted a lead from hanging in the cloakroom. And immediately he lifted the lead from the wall. There was a dog, and he went bananas. Absolutely bananas. I'm going out. We're going down the lane. We're going across the fields. Expectation. Excitement. Grandparents, the car pulls up outside the house and grandchildren look up. Granny's got her bag. Expectation. What's Granny got for me today? Granny always brings me something, that bag. And Granda, he sits in the chair and a little wink and hand into the pocket. Oh, sweets. Mummy doesn't give me those sort of sweets, but Granda, expectation. And all he did was put his hand in his pocket. All she did was carry her bag. All he did was lift the lead. Brethren and sisters, when we come to pray, when we wait before the Lord, my expectation is from him. Is that the way you pray? My hope is in thee. Faith looks right up into heaven and says, he cares for me. He loves me. He knows about me. And this hope has been born in our hearts by a Savior. A Savior who left heaven and came to this world, lived a sinless life and went to a cross, loved me before I knew him, loved me before I loved him, loved me when he saw me in my sin, and yet he loved me and he died for me. Shed his blood to take away my sins. Herein is love, not that I loved him, but that he loved me. And on that cross, he died that we could be forgiven and made right with God. He was buried and he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and this morning he sits at God's right hand as our great high priest. And the Holy Spirit has come, and we say, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, knowing that the trial of your faith, being so much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you will rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He loves us. He cares for us. He watches over us. The confidence and the hope that is born in our hearts is not an imaginary thing. It's based on the character of God. It's based on the truths of God. It's based on the promises of the God who cannot lie. And because that is the hope that's in our heart, it's assurance. It will be realized. The basis of our hope, born in the, by the Holy Spirit within us. And this expectation, this hope, this confidence gives us purpose for living, gives us strength for each day. He loves me. He cares for me. Therefore, I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? What of you by worrying can add one cubit unto his stature? And why worry for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow it's cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or how shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let us pray together. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to veil his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Thank you, Lord, for the hope born within our hearts by your Spirit through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we pray thee, bless it to every heart today, we ask. And for those, Lord, who do not have this hope, who have not this confidence in Christ, that even today they would come to know him and to trust him as Lord and Savior. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.